The league itself has been subject to a series of analyses by modern historians. And how did it exactly function? And the inner workings of that league as it stood in 480 BC, when Cleomenes and his successors had finished signing up all the states in alliance, that league has been subject to several different interpretations, and that's fundamental in understanding how the Peloponnesian War broke out. To simplify the issue a bit, one way of looking at this league is that it is a series of alliances, separate alliances between Sparta and each individual state. Bilateral would be the political science term, in which Sparta promised to respect the member state, and the member state would pledge military forces to Sparta. In this type of vision, the league is extremely loose. The Spartans ask for forces as they need them. The league is largely dictated by practical concerns. If Sparta is strong, she can dictate her position to her various allies. But if the Spartans are internally weak or they're politically divided, the league members can operate pretty much as independent operators. This would be true of two of the most powerful members of the league, Corinth, the great commercial power on the Isthmus, which was a very large city at this point, a great naval power, and that is before the Athenians built their fleet, and a city that was very populous, very wealthy, notorious for its swinging life. I think in St. Paul, the verb to be depraved is to act like a Corinthian. Corinthoizomai, a middle voice verb. The other power is Thebes. In central Greece, in Boeotia, which attempted to unite that district into a federal league and produced what were reputedly the second best hoplites in Greece after the Spartans. It's argued under this loose structure that Thebes and Corinth could be very independent of Sparta. And so you end up with a vision of the Peloponnesian War as, well, the Spartans really couldn't control their allies. And the Corinthians could bring on the war. The Thebans could pressure the Spartans into doing something they don't want. And that realpolitik is what really dictated the league. A state like Megara was important because of its strategic position. It controlled those vital passes, but not because of its military power. Another view is, however, that this league was more than just a loose set of alliances brought together out of cynical pragmatism and in opposition to Argos. And I would fall in that camp. The leagues involved the swearing of oaths. There's a tendency in analyzing the Peloponnesian War and reading Thucydides to become seduced by his analysis of political events. Thucydides, unlike Herodotus and many later historians, has no indication of divine fortune, divine chance, or plan. He deals strictly in cause and effect, and he explains what he believes are the real purposes behind actions. And it's easy to assume that all Greeks operated this way, that all Greeks saw realpolitik, or at least Athenians did, that they all were as blunt as Bismarck in arranging diplomatic situations in the Greek world. And I don't think that's the case. The Spartans were a deeply religious people. So were the other members of the Peloponnesian League, and even the Athenians. When they swore oaths to the gods, they intended to keep them. And you have to understand that oaths and religious language is very close to legal language in the ancient world. The relationship with the gods was a legally binding contract. As the Romans would put it, do ut deus. I give in order that you give. You approach the divinity. You promise to act a certain way, and the gods will return it. And the sense of taking oaths to one's traditions and ancestors, if you swear falsely, the gods will punish the community. And there won't be an individual reckoning. It'll be an atonement of the entire community, and there aren't any innocent bystanders. And these oaths are extremely formidable. If it goes the wrong way, may you not have descendants, may you not have children, may it fall down upon you. And one point that becomes clear through the whole of Thucydides, even though he doesn't mention it, both the Athenians and the Spartans, in the final crisis before the Peloponnesian War, they're very loath to be the first to declare war. They're trying to find a reason on the other side to go to war. And it's just not posturing. They take the oaths quite seriously, and when the Spartans have setbacks, they often take it as the disfavor of the gods. Well, maybe they went the wrong way. So the structure in the Peloponnesian League, there were a series of constitutional arrangements. The Spartans regularly discussed policy that involved the league. if there was a major war to be waged, the Spartan Assembly would meet. The various members of the Peloponnesian League could send representatives. If the Spartan Assembly decided to take an action, then the League would have to agree to it.